everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. And I'm so excited to be able to sit down and speak with Christian Siriano, style icon, entrepreneur, trailblazer, fashion icon, and now full-blown interior designer in his new venture, Siriano Interiors. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You've had a busy year so far.
Love it. I know. We always start the year off, I'm thinking it's going to be calm. And then we're like, oh, it's award season. And then it's projects. And it's always a wild few months. But fun.
But good. But it's better than the alternative, which was the pandemic, which was super, super, you know, difficult for everybody. Yeah. Do you think, Christian, during the pandemic, that's how you pivoted into interiors, where I have this saying from what we've experienced here in Florida, that the home has become the new celebrity almost, and people have fallen madly in love with their homes.
I know.
From that, right? So that has to be amazing for the interior design business right now, because no one has loved their home or tricked it out more than before now.
It's so funny. I was like, and I think that's exactly what happened. You know, I always have loved interior and interior design. I've always loved that world. My mom was actually really interested in furniture growing up and would take me around furniture shopping and fabric shopping for reupholstering things. And, but I think now more than ever, like, you really have to love where you live, because everyone's back to work and things, but I don't know. I just think it's important for self-care to be in a space that you think is beautiful and gorgeous and comfortable and elegant, all the things that, I mean, I would think you want your home to be. I think it's just more important than ever, especially for those of the world that live, you know, in small apartments in a big city, right, which is millions of people.
Yeah. So you had a really big install that you did recently. You're on the cover of our magazine, this issue. You look great as always. And you got a great project in this $35 million penthouse overlooking Central Park, which is like the coup of all coups, right?
It was so gorgeous. It was insane.
And it is gorgeous. So how long did it take you from concept to envisioning to actually doing the installation?
It was really fast because this is like a new building and they really wanted to showcase, you know, different designers. And I remember when we were chatting about it, you know, originally we would have had a few months to work on it, but really in the end, I think we did everything in maybe 2 months. And that was from, you know, maybe 3 months total, because a lot of the furniture we made custom. But it was fast and wild. And also a lot of, you know, there was a lot of restrictions because it's a brand new building. Things weren't even finished. I remember when we were going in, there weren't even door handles on the outsides of the apartment doors. They were still working on them. So we were like, how do you get in? It was wild. So definitely some challenges there. But when we walked in, I mean, the view is so unbelievable. And it was such a perfect canvas for like my work, which is, I think, you know, simple, but sculptural. And we wanted it to feel really cool and stylish. And I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And were your clients very participatory in this, or did they just have so much trust in you that you just went for it?
No, it was so easy because I think a lot of people were really thinking of these, interesting enough. I think a lot of people bought them as investment properties in the pandemic. And I think everyone was just looking to like fill the space in a way. So they were kind of were like, whatever you think is beautiful. I was like, okay.
That's good.
Which was really great. Not all clients are that way. We definitely have others that are much more picky. But we love them too. And, you know, we're working on another project now and the client is very particular. And it's so interesting to have both of those worlds, you know, and I've always had that in fashion. You know, some clients in fashion are so easy and quick and you find a dress in a moment, and others are weeks and fittings. And, you know, it's very interesting how the similarities in the business work.
Yes. Same in our business too. So I think it's like every business, but you seem to have carte blanche more than the average person, because people are just, your credibility or innate trust that people have in you for being this tastemaker, change maker. It seems like you can do your thing a little bit more than maybe some other people because you're a trailblazer and you do everything before everybody else does it. That's what I've always thought about you. You don't need a lot of outside guidance or direction. It seems to always come internally and then you trust that. Do you find that that's something you've always had or have you learned to trust yourself more along the road?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I love to just sometimes just go for it. I think I've learned that you just have to try and sometimes things don't work out, of course, but for the most part, I really do think that things work out in some way or another, and it leads to something else greater and better. And that's kind of how I've learned to, that's kind of how I've treated my entire career, really. Mm-hmm. And that can go from, you know, some red carpets are amazing and some aren't, and some, you know, projects have worked out and some haven't. And I really, but I think the most important thing is that I'm very open-minded to anything and everything. Like I don't shut someone out or I don't shut a project down just because it's not the normal thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. We've done a fair amount of podcasts in the last year and a half, and the pandemic actually was the catalyst to actually do that so that we could communicate, you know, more easily. And it seemed like podcasts were like the rage, you know, and they seem to continue to be so. Mm-hmm. And I've never named a podcast prior to actually having the interview and seeing where it organically takes you. But the working title of this podcast for you is One Size Does Not Fit All, because you have never been like that. And you've never been in a box. And you were the first out of the gate in the fashion industry on the runways for being inclusive. I think having fun, because I didn't think the shows were like really fun and dynamic, and you brought that to the table. And then of course your celebrity studded front row, which has become sort of a hallmark and a trademark for you as well. As I think they want to obviously see your amazing designs, but then you have celebs walking your runway, and you also have them in the front row too. So you're a lovable person. And I mean, I don't know of a person, I've never heard anyone speak poorly of you ever. And you're such a people person and, you know, like a celebrity, you know, they feel very comfortable with you.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's really important to be, you know, you have to, I think everyone in this business too, like fashion's very a funny place. So you really have to like be yourself and be very true. And I've noticed that what worked for me and my brand was to just be, you know, open and helpful. And I think that's what worked. And I think that that's actually how we became successful. And then you get everybody else on your side later on.
Right.
You know, right. As long as you continue to do that, it helps.
Right. Well, dovetailing off that point that you just said, then I would venture to guess that a lot of celebrities are going to hire you for their home because it's just a segue, right?
We're literally doing, what's so funny is like, I'm like, I sit here and I'm like, we had fittings today and we're working on the next collection. And then tomorrow I'm going did a beautiful space for Billy Porter. So we designed some of his house. And so we're doing that tomorrow.
That's amazing.
I balance my days.
Right, right. And then like fill a closet for somebody and then do the interior design. I mean, it's like pretty wild. So getting back to this, the house that we featured, you've been, you know, heavily awarded and decorated. And now even in this new venture, that's only been a couple of years that you officially opened
only like a year and a half, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's completely crazy. So talk a little bit about the different pieces that you put in, your new line that you have in the home, your wooden bus that you've had since you picked it up in Paris 8 years ago. Yeah. I mean, just the whole thing, you know, and the line too. I'm really interested in the line and how is it minimal? You know, do you have like an ample amount of orders if people like around the world wanted to order them? Where are you going with that?
It's been really amazing because I remember when we launched the actual furniture part of the business, you know, I was like, oh, I really want to make my own furniture because I feel like, well, one, it was really hard to get furniture. And two, I felt like it was a bit hard for me as a, although I love vintage furniture, I love furniture in general, because it's almost like a piece of art for me. That's how I treat it. And, but I really wanted to design my own, because I feel like that's what I am. I'm a designer. I'm a creator. I like to sketch something on a piece of paper and then I like to see it come to life. And it's been awesome. We launched originally just on First Dibs. And the problem now is that the orders are so much that we can barely keep up.
Wow.
So we are.
Congratulations. Good,
great. But a lot of work. Furniture making is a big, big challenge.
It is.
So we're trying to figure that out. I'll let you know how it goes.
I'm sure you'll figure it out for sure.
Yes. And
so which one do you like better? Do you like the fashion world or this, or do you like both of them and you wouldn't let either go?
I like using the other, like it's a little bit of a different brain heart, I would say, like different part of the brain. But what I like is that I think that fashion is amazing and it's wonderful and I love doing it, but it is nice to have a break from it. Because I'm just interested in other things, and other things are art and architecture and furniture. So I think that, you know, I love even curating art. I love, you know, remodeling homes and building. And so all of that is very interesting to me, especially as I get older. It's hard to do the same thing every day, all day.
Yeah, that's great. In your career so far, what has been something that's happened to you that was literally beyond your expectations, like mega highlights that have happened?
God, mega highlights. I mean, there's been so many great, fabulous moments. I think, you know, like when I get to dress some of the first ladies, that's amazing and feels really great. When we have really fabulous red carpet moments like Billy Porter at the Oscars or, but even really just like some of our clients that we've had for years and years and years, I love that they like still come back and buy clothes like years later. Those are like some of my favorite days. And you know, and obviously like I've gotten to, you know, be the first at a lot of things, you know, the first designer to show curvy women on a runway. Like, I'm so proud of that. That was a great moment in our culture. Things like that is like what I feel like feels really, really good. But also really honestly, what feels really great is that like, we're still here. I have a, you know, a great studio. We get to make what we want to make. That feels great.
Yeah.
I can keep the lights on.
Yes. I know all about keeping the lights on. Exactly. With you. 100%.
You know, it's really hard to like keep your business going every season and every, you know, you have to try and
So we loved your, one of your like take two, three or fours that you've had so many when you opened the Curated, which we all thought, and you as well, which was one of the most magnificent, you know, places that we've seen. And you did all of the interiors for that. And renovated or just basically refreshed.
Refreshed that old townhouse. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. And that was just an amazing place to be and place to go. And I'm so glad that you did that and that people did get to experience and we got to experience that as well.
Yeah,
times have changed a lot since then. And I think COVID maybe like just like was the probably the catalyst where like, how are you going to keep retail open? When, you know, everyone's shuttered in their homes, you know, but it would probably, and looking back on it right now, that was just like almost a creative outlet and something that was a foretelling of what you were going to end up doing, because you were in a lot of Architectural Digest and various magazines for that amazing space that you had created. So that might have even just been like the foretelling of this whole business that you're going into right now.
Yeah. And now we're opening a new store, which will be really cool, which is a very similar version. But it will be in Connecticut, which is exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Near your home.
Yeah, it is.
Which is beautiful, by the way. Did you design that too? I mean, you did the interiors in that home, which is spectacular. Mm-hmm. Absolutely spectacular. Yeah. Well, we had the privilege of going up to your other home that in Connecticut, where you were on the cover of that too, where you had done the interiors on that country home as well.
I love that house. It was so quirky and crazy.
It was great. And then we also had a fun little jaunt over to Ireland where we were at Ballyhinch Castle and you brought all your dresses over there and we were able to
really
do that.
I really want to go back.
I know. And tell me about what your experience was there. I mean, we all thought that it was like mega career highlight and so fun. And it felt like we were in a movie.
It literally felt like a movie. And now I think at the time now that I remember, I'm like, oh my God, we should have done more and this. And then I was like, now I have all these ideas. But
we'll go back and do it. Let's do it.
It was so fabulous. That was such an amazing trip. And God, it's such a beautiful place. And
it is
gorgeous. Oh, and remember when we went to see, whose farm was that with the beautiful horses?
Oh, Gentle Meg. We went to see our horse. Yeah. Gentle Meg. That was so fun.
It was so fun.
I know.
Have you been back?
Oh yeah. Several times. Yeah. Since then we have, and you know, we opened the office over there. So we had that for 6 years. Yeah. But we did close that about 6 months before the pandemic, not knowing because it just like, you know, it was just like pouring money into it.
Yeah.
But hey, great thing that we did that because the pandemic was going to close it anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't regret doing it. I mean, it was wild, like a wild card to do it and make a magazine in a foreign country. Like that was very crazy.
Yeah.
And I had a blast doing it. My husband, on the other hand, was bankrolling it. So he didn't think it was as fun as I did.
Right, exactly.
So, but we all loved it and definitely want to go back. So, yeah. You know, you talk in a lot of articles that I've read about you and even talking to you and knowing you, you know, for 14 years we've been following you and you were the one of the first articles that we had in our debut issue in 2008 too. So like, you know, we're, you know, fangirls turned into colleagues, turned into friends and everything. So, but it's 14 years. Like, how did that happen?
So crazy. I love it. So fabulous.
I know. It's so great. So, you talk about your mom being an influence in clothing, your fashion business, and also, so, I mean, she probably was one of your main influencers.
Yeah. I think my mom, my sister, definitely very influential because I think my mom my mom actually really liked clothes. I mean, she still does a little bit now, but and loved interiors. That was really her thing. And my sister was more eccentric and loved fashion and would wear these crazy wild things to school every day and mm-hmm. was very inspiring.
Yeah. What was one of your absolute favorite fashion shows that you did? The venue that you thought was the coolest?
My gosh, I've shown at so many cool places. I think like when we showed at Top of the Rock was really stunning.
That was my favorite.
30 Rock, we showed at the Plaza. I loved that show. I loved actually, my 10th anniversary show was in the Masonic Hall here. It was, and I will say, I still look back on the videos and the pictures from that show and they're incredible. Probably because of the space, it was like almost like you felt like you were in an old opera or something. Yeah. It was so cool.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't go to that one. Was that, what season was that?
I don't even know why you guys didn't come to that one.
Yeah, that sounded cool.
But there's been so many great ones. I think, and that's kind of what's fun is to always find, you know, and I've shown at similar venues for a lot because I love them. Mm-hmm. I love Gotham Hall. I still think that building, I've shown there a lot.
Yes, you have.
And I love that building. But even last season, we showed at the bottom of the Empire State Building and it was really raw and pretty. Yeah. And it felt like, we were in like an underground world. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And very sort of timely with the vibe. I thought like last year or the year before felt like I was in a Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
You know, like really grungy and like what's going on with the world, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, that fashion show that you did down here with us at Caliza Pool at Alice Beach, I think to me, just visually, I mean, I know it was a simple show that you did down here, but I thought it was absolutely stunning.
Yeah,
it really was. Stunning. It was.
We need to do another one.
I know. We've got to get you back down here. Hopefully we'll entice you to get here. Some big project will, you know, come around. So do you want to do interiors like everywhere? Do you want to just do them in New York City? Like, what is the plan and like, what is the goal for you?
Yeah. I mean, we have been, we're loving it. I am doing as much as I can. And what's been really great is like, we are definitely doing it in other places. So we just finished, we just did a really cool little inn, which is in Chagrin Falls in Ohio, which was really fun. And we're already about to do a project for the London Hotel in LA, but that got pushed back because of the pandemic. So this was like a perfect segue to a space. But I think, yeah, I'm really open to doing things everywhere and anywhere. I kind of am taking whatever opportunity comes and figuring out if it's going to work or not.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, I think you were the first that got a lot of press, or maybe even just the first business owner, entrepreneur that just decided like, hey, we're running out of masks. I'm going to make masks. And you ended up making like how many? An insane amount.
It was insane. Yeah. Yeah.
And then everyone after then started making masks too.
Yeah.
And just all the things that you've done, and
yeah, it was a wild time, and we were making them for so long, and in the beginning we really just didn't even know what it would be, but it was so crazy that it was a product that just didn't exist in our world, so right. It was such a needed thing, so we're glad that we did it and feel really proud.
Yes, as you should. And so what is the city like now? I know a lot of people that said like 6 months ago, not the same, but is
it? It is. It's definitely has a little bit of a different vibe, but I will say like, that's one good thing about New York is that it always is back in action. And when it's back in action, it's back. I mean, we've been going to Broadway. We've been going to events, and I went to a beautiful gallery opening last night. Like, it's really nice to like see the New Yorker support other New Yorkers. And that's been really great. And we have the Tony Awards coming up in like a few weeks, and that was canceled for 2 years almost. So it's really nice that that's kind of back in action.
Right. I'm getting ready for this podcast. I'm looking back on all the covers, and then the Kristen Chenoweth cover that you had sent us over to the United Palace Theater, like hordes and hordes of, you know, dresses for that shoot and everything.
I love that.
And I don't think she ever looked better than in that red dress.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. And then not too long after that, you know, you were doing the fittings and met and everything. And then I forget the whole story about this, but tell us about when she commissioned you to do all of the outfits for her play on Broadway. What was that? Tell me about that. I can't remember that.
It was amazing. I remember when she, well, love Kristen. She is so fabulous and just a ball of joy and energy.
Yeah,
and we got the pleasure of making her that. She had her one woman show and it was so amazing. And she changed a bunch of times and it was theatrical, but kitschy and beautiful because her voice is insane. Everything was pink. It was a blast. And I love working with her. And you know, I don't do a lot of stage costume things because it's not really what I do, but I love doing it for her.
Well, it's just like shows like that you can do anything basically,
yeah,
you know, because you're not in a box and like people just trust that you can do anything and you pretty much can pull it off, you know.
We needed to do a cover shoot with her again. That was so fun.
I know. And she loved that shoot too.
Yeah.
She really, we learned something when we went up there from her agents and her managers there because she was only going to stay 2 hours.
And then
she ended up staying like 4.5 hours. I'm like, oh, like, why are you still here? Well, because she's having a good time.
Exactly.
And she's having fun and she likes the clothes and she likes it. And then they also said, and because you're all nice. And I'm like, well, what are the other magazines like? And they said, well, they're not nice and they're disorganized. So you should move to New York. And I'm like, okay, like the power of nice, right? And she felt comfortable. So I guess that's not the norm, but you know, you'd know better than I on that one. So, how fabulous was it for you to have your recent home in Architectural Digest, which is like a pretty cool coup, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And that was one of my biggest highlights of the year. And then we also just had my new studio also featured in Architectural Digest. So it was like, felt really good. And I love working with them. They're such a great team. Amy, the editor in chief, she's fabulous and has great taste. But it's funny because, you know, as a young interior designer, you know, I'm still learning and still growing and building. So I, you know, whenever I get a feature of anything, like it feels great because it's new to me. It's not, you know, it's different. So it feels really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So your Project Runway right now with you as the lead, how what do you think of that? Like, how is that for you? Because you look like you're having a really good time.
It's fun. It's, you know, it's definitely, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours. So I have to, and I really have to like devote myself to these young designers. But it's great, you know, being, oh, that's very New York for you. But, you know, like being now being kind of the host and the mentor, it's nice to be able to help because the business is really, really hard. So I really do try to give them like real advice.
Right.
That I deal with every day. So it's everything I tell them has happened to me in my career or is happening. So I think that's so important for a mentor needs to be actually in the real business that they're mentoring.
Right. And you seem to have a natural interest in them and that you're really truly helping them.
Yes. And it's so annoying because I get all attached to them in the end and then I have to
say goodbye. Yeah. That's not fun at all. Oh my gosh.
And then I fall in love with them. And then I'm like, oh, now they call me all the time. And I try not to, I try to stay away, but it's too hard.
Yeah. Well, that's just you. Yeah. Congrats on your SCAD exhibit, both in Savannah and then recently. Talk about that. Like, how did they find you? It looked beautiful. How long did it take for you to get all those dresses down there? Like, what was that all like?
Yeah. The SCAD team has been so incredible. Their museums are so beautiful. And when they reached out and wanted to do it, I was like, oh, well, you know, at first you're like, oh, I feel a little silly because it's like a retrospective of my work and I'm young and it's not that long. But I think what it really showed was like, we called the exhibit People Are People because I think it just really shows there's really no other American young designer making clothes the way I make them and put them on the people that I put them on. So I think that that is why it's very special. And I think it's very important for like a young generation to see that. Because it's different than like, if they saw a Dior exhibition, like Dior doesn't do what I do. They never will. And that's just not them. They barely even use black models for the last 25 years. So, and it's in that in itself, that's a whole nother topic, but you know, so anyway, you know, I think it's really interesting. But it was so gorgeous. And the curators are amazing. And actually one of the curators I worked with as an intern in London at Vivienne Westwood. So it came full circle.
No way.
Later. And
that's how it happened, where that connect, that is amazing. Yeah. Well, to say, I mean, impressive, you are young, but I mean, so prolific. And you obviously had such a body of work that you definitely deserved it. What's that?
We make a lot of clothes. The Atlanta exhibit is almost 80 looks. And I'm looking around and they've all been worn by someone. So I was like, you know, and someone fabulous. Or I was like, what? I'm like, wow. I'm like, I need a break. I need to take a year off.
So how long does that stay there? If it's still
stay there through the fall, so into the fall, so all summer long in Atlanta, people have to go see it. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
Into the fall, and then maybe we'll move it to another place.
Traveling
show, yeah.
Really? So what will you do with those dresses after? Like, just auction them off because they were in the exhibit for like a lot of money?
No, they'll go into the archives.
And seriously?
We'll figure out where they're going to go.
Okay. Oh my gosh, crazy.
A big storage unit.
Yeah, if there are any left. Because I should be in the storage unit business. Then we would make a lot of money.
We should be in the delivery trucking business and the storage, because let me tell you, they're making the money.
Yeah, totally. If you don't mind, to close out, I'm going to have everyone come say hi to you behind me because they all know, hey, everyone want to come say hi to Christian.
Who's here?
Emmy Martin, who wrote your article.
Amazing.
Jordan, who you know for a long time. Tracy, who you've known for a long time.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Man, you guys have been kicking it together for a long time.
A long time. I know. We've had so much fun with you. We love you so much. Thank you for your time. And
thank you so much.
Continued success as your star. You're just going to keep going and going. I mean, it's unbelievable. Okay, everybody, thanks for watching V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. Our guest today was the fabulous, the wonderful Christian Siriano. And go watch this podcast and go buy everything that he's selling, because he's selling like everything. Bye, everybody. Bye. See you later.